Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the truth and the songs that we've enjoyed this morning. Lord, truly, your mercy is new every morning. God, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Lord, we praise you this morning for your faithfulness. I pray, dear Father, this morning for Brother John and Sister Joyce. I know, our Father, that their hearts are broken. Their hearts are heavy. God, I pray that we do what we can as a church to be a blessing, to lift them up in prayer. Lord, I pray that your grace will prove to be sufficient in their lives this day. Lord, I pray you'd bless every father that's gathered in the house of God on Father's Day. Lord, I just thank you for earthly fathers that have a desire to worship their heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, today that you'd bless us with your presence, bless us with your power, bless us with your peace. Father, the meeting coming up over at Lewis Lane, I pray, God, you'd give the man of God strength. Give Brother Mitchell, Lord, that the church needs in these days. Bless Brother Kenny and the congregation there, Lewis Lane. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us now to accomplish what needs to be accomplished for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Ralph, before I go any further in the service, did you all make a decision about the service tonight? We're not going to have service tonight. Okay, I told Brother Ralph, I doubt very seriously I'd be able to make it back. So we thought that the meeting was going to be going on over at Lewis Lane tonight, and I was going to encourage you all to go over there if you could and hear Brother Mitchell. So let me encourage you to do this. God willing, we'll meet over there Tuesday night. I know Brother Ralph was planning on going. Let's a bunch of us get together and go over there Tuesday night to Lewis Lane and be a blessing to Brother Mitchell, be a blessing to Brother Kenny. He's another soldier that stood true down through the years, and we'd just like to be a blessing to him. Amen. In these days, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of Revelation, please. I cannot hardly believe it was just yesterday evening that I was just sitting there in the living room and meditating and wondering what the Lord would maybe have for today. And I began to think about Father's Day, and I began to think about where we were in the book of the Revelation, and I wasn't sure, and I actually had to look up the scripture to make sure that it matched up with what was going on in my heart. I ought to be far enough down the road now by now that I could just trust the Lord and know that it would match up when I opened it up. Amen. But he sure has been good. I want to read in Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. We preached a series of messages entitled John Saw. And then we started in on another series, and we titled it John Wrote. Some things that John writes to the churches. And I know it's Father's Day, but I believe the Lord wants us just to pick right up here. And I think you'll understand maybe why. Because I think as we address the church at Sardis, I believe we can see some truths that need to be applied in our homes as well. Some truths that fathers could glean from this morning as well. The Bible said, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirit, hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. That's the little phrase. Brother Grizzle, as I meditated, I thought, dear God, in these days, how many dads, how many homes need to strengthen the things that remain. I'm telling you, the enemy is trying to destroy, Brother Rose, the very foundation of the family, the very foundation of the home. And that's the phrase that got my attention thinking about Father's Day. And I'm not going to preach all about fathers today, but think about that. Think about some things that's going right in your home that might be ready to die. I'll read that in just a moment. Think about some things, some areas that we might need to strengthen in our lives as the people of God, especially as dads for the Lord Jesus. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'd like to address this church today in Sardis and try to glean some things that might help us as a church, that might help us in our homes and our families. And I pray that you'll pray for me and pray with me as we try to go through the message. Sardis was the capital city in Lydia. It was founded about 1200 B.C., just a little history. Gold and silver coins were first minted in Sardis. The city of Sardis was famous for industry. The carpet, wool, and a dyed cloth were their primary products. The art of dyeing was invented in Sardis. At one time, Sardis had been one of the greatest cities in the world. Sardis regained some of its former wealth under the reign of Alexander the Great, but was invaded and defeated by Antiochus the Great, who also entered the city at night while the guards slept. Now listen, that's just a little piece of history that when Jesus is addressing the church, we need to remember. Because what we need to remember is he tells them in his address to be watchful. What happened? The enemy slipped in on them at night, slipped in on them in the dark, slipped in on them and took over. Are you listening? And I'm going to tell you, the church of the living God has an enemy. And he's not sleeping, folk, and we better not go to sleep. Amen. I'm telling you, he wants the church. He hates Jesus and he hates his people. And he said in the history, then when the Romans came, Sardis was still wealthy. They were powerful, but it was just a shell of its former self. I just want to tell you how the Lord spoke to me. That's what a lot of churches are today. Just a shell of what they used to be. I believe sometime or another, some man of God probably stood and preached, and some congregation probably said, well, we don't need that. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. When we stand and read out of this Bible, what we better do is open our hearts and say, oh God, we need that. There's a reason you've put that on our pastor's heart. There's a reason you put that in the Word of God. God, we're not exempt, amen, from what's went on at Sardis and these other churches, as you write in the book of the Revelation. He said in the history there, by John's day, Sardis was just a shell. What it had been, the people had grown lazy, degenerate, immoral, and complacent. Sardis was dying through apathy and indifference. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. I'm not going to pick on denominations. But let me tell you something. There are some denominations. I'm talking about church denominations that in this country and abroad used to be setting the fields on fire for the glory of God and winning souls and getting a hold of God, that nowadays are proven of women preachers and women deacons and sodomite preachers. I'm just telling you, honey, we all got to watch. We got to be watchful. We got to strengthen the things that remain. If we don't, we'll be in the same shape. Are you listening to me? God, help us not to get in that shape of indifference and apathy. The city was proud of its past. It was proud of its reputation. But that was all that it had left. For all intents and purposes, the city of Sardis was dead, even though it had a name, which it was alive. I say this morning, we'll get right into the mess. You say, what have you been doing? I've just been trying to introduce it a little bit. But I want to say this morning. I believe that in America, there are a lot of fathers that have a name, that they're alive, but they're dead. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The only place you'll find life is Christ. You must be born again. Honey, you can't be called a Baptist, a Methodist, a Pentecostal, or anything else and not bring life. You must be called a child of God. You must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not, you might have a name. Your name might be on a church roll. You might have a position in a church. But honey, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, you've got a name, you're alive, but you're dead in your trespasses and in your sin. You say, preacher, that's not nice. That's what Jesus told the church of Sardis. And I tell you, God put it in my heart just to let you know, there's a whole lot of fathers today. Put on a suit, put on a tie, went to the house of God. Some of them won't go back till Christmas. Amen. They got a name that they're living, but they're dead. Amen. In their trespasses and in their sin. Let me give you some things this morning. Four things I want to cover, if God will help me. The first thing I want us to see is the hypocrisy in the church at Sardis. He said, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said here, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. You know what I want to say this morning? If you have the name of Jesus, you're alive. If you don't have the name of Jesus, amen, then you're dead. I believe the church here at Sardis, they were living on their reputation. They were living on their past. And by the way, that's a danger. Listen, I meant to say this later in the sermon, but Brother Grizzle, I begin to think about colleges, and I begin to think about churches that used to once be, I'm talking about Baptist colleges and Baptist churches that used to once be alive and vibrant for the glory of God that had thrown in the town. They don't even know if the King James Bible's the right Bible anymore. Their music's not right. Their book's not right. Their preaching's not right. And they're liberal as all get out because, my friend, they still got the name. They're living in the past, living on a reputation where there's no vision. The Word of God said the people perish. There's signs of a dying church. A dying church will boast of its past accomplishment, but it has no present vision. They're more concerned about their rituals and their formalities than they are about their spirituality. You know, when God moved in on us a couple Sundays back, went to testifying, that had to hair lift a lot of Baptists because they don't know what to do when the Spirit of God visits His people. And they begin to testify and pray. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I don't believe we've bragged on Him enough. I believe we've got some catching up to do when it comes to bragging on the Lord and praising His blessed name. They're more concerned about a social gospel and social change than they are about the gospel of Christ and seeing people changed by the power of God. That's what a dying church is, amen. Oh, I tell you, I thank God as I went down this list, I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not pastoring a dying church. Hallelujah, we've got a vision. There's people that need to be saved. There's youngins that need help. I tell you, yes, there's things we can do out there in the community to help poor families. But thank God that's not the end of our big plan. That's just a little bit of the beginning, amen, for the glory of God. More concerned about material growth than it is with its spiritual growth. Listen, spiritual growth is not just talking about numbers in a congregation. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. They've been asking themselves the question, are you better off now than you were 8 years ago? Talking about the president. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to ask ourselves the question, are we better off now than we were a year ago? Have we grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, if we're not growing, then my friend, listen, there's fault somewhere. It's either in this pulpit or it's in our Sunday school or it's in the pew this morning. But if we're not growing, there's fault somewhere. We can't find fault with the Word of God. if the Word of God's being preached and the Word of God's being sung, then we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A dying church is more pleased, more concerned about pleasing men than it is with pleasing God. I tell you something right now, that's a dangerous place to be in. A dying church clings more tightly to its creeds and its confessions than it does to the Word of God. That's why you've got people making a stupid statement like this. They'll say, I know what the Bible says, but. I've heard people say because their creed didn't line up with the Bible, they say, well, I don't care what the Bible said. It's what Mama said or what Grandpa said. I'm going to tell you something right now. We better care what the Bible said. It's the final authority. A dying church is one that loses its convictions that the Bible is the Word of God. Signs of life in the church. I thought about this would be activity. Glory to God. I was out one day. I can't say what was going on. I don't want to offend anybody. It wasn't anybody in our church. But a man in our church was standing alongside of me. And I held my finger up. And I said, he said, what are you doing, preacher? I said, I'm trying to see if they're moving. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Where there's life, there'll be some activity every once in a while. Where there's life, there'll be harmony. Where there's life, there'll be some emotion. And where there's life, there'll be growth. Amen. Listen, Olivia's little. And I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't care a bit. Bob knows I'm telling the truth. Put her in some dry ice and freeze her just like that and keep her like that the rest of her life. But you know, if she don't grow, we'll know something's wrong. She's got to get a little taller. She's got to get a little plumper. Amen. Her language, her vocabulary is developing. And if that stops, then we begin to worry. We begin to wonder. As children of God, we shouldn't stop growing. We'll ask the Lord to help us to grow. So we see the hypocrisy in the church at Sardis. Help us, Lord, not to be hypocritical. As a dad, as a church, help us not to be hypocritical. Now, listen. Jesus, one of his titles is the great physician. You remember that? I mean, that's what we call him, amen, the great physician. Jesus is not going to tell the patients what's wrong and not turn around and try to give the patient some remedy for what's wrong. And the church at Sardis, they had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. Well, first thing we saw was the hypocrisy in the church at Sardis. I want us to see now the help for the church at Sardis. How many believe when something's wrong, God's got the help we need? God's got the very help that we need to overcome what's wrong. Their help would come, look at verse 2. He said, be watchful. Their help would come from watching. In order to watch, in the Bible economy, you had to be awake. And if you were set for the first watch in the night, and something happened on that watch and you were asleep, it cost you your life. Amen. And so the Bible tells us to awake to righteousness. The Bible, Jesus said, what you need to do, Sardis, is watch. And then what he said, what you need to do is strengthen the things which remain. I believe that in some areas, we've lost some things through the decades as the church of the living God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Our standards aren't what they used to be. You know I'm telling it right. Yeah. Amen. Holy Ghost conviction ain't what it used to be. I was teasing Bob last night, and I said, Bob, I said, how about preaching for me in the morning? He said, I don't think I have that call on my life. And he said, this morning, he said, well, he said, if you'll write it down, he said, I'll go up there and read it to him. Well, you know what? That's just what happened in a lot of pulpits this morning. Say amen right there.
Somebody wrote it down and somebody else got up and read it to them. And I told Bob, I said, Bob, I can remember one sermon that was read. It was actually written and rewritten and written and rewritten again and again. Jonathan Edwards is the man that did it. And the message was sinners in the hands of an angry God. My point is, Brother Rose, it wouldn't matter if I was reading a sermon, if the Holy Ghost camped in on it, and people fell under Holy Ghost conviction, the work could still be accomplished. You can't put God in a box, honey. He can work however He wants to. Amen. We need that convicting power once again in the house of God. Strengthen the things that remain. Then the Bible said, remember. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. He said, hold fast. And then He said, repent. These are some of the remedies. You know what's sad? Sandy, what's sad is so many of this generation don't have anything to remember. They don't know nothing about old-time preaching. They don't know nothing about old-time religion. They don't know nothing about old-time singing. They don't know nothing about old-time conviction. They don't know nothing about old-time salvation. Have these with me this morning. They don't have anything to remember. God told the church at Sardis, remember, there must have been a day when they had more than a name that they were alive. They were alive and well, Brother Lance, for the glory of God. I tell you, God wants our church to be alive. God wants our homes to be alive. God wants us as His children to be alive. Then the Bible talked about repenting. I tell you, I'm reminded of a statement. I think Brother Brian repeated it after Brother Mitchell. But Brother Mitchell said, if I get it right, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. What a statement that is. If you've ever repented, how many understands that statement? If you've ever repented, if you've ever one time repented, you're not looking in that mirror and saying, boy, if you want to see the perfect Christian, right there he is. You're looking in that mirror saying, woe is me, oh God, help me. We're still repenting as a people of God. You know what repentance will do? Brother John, it'll keep us from dying. It'll keep us from dying as a church. When we can look at one another and say, I'm sorry, brother, would you forgive me? It'll keep us from dying in the home. When a man can look at his wife and say, darling, forgive me. When a child can look at his mom or his dad and say, mom, forgive me. We see the help for the church at Sardis. I want to show you this. I won't spend long here. But I want you to see the honorable. Honey, I about had me a spell when I thought about this. If y'all haven't noticed, there's just a special place in my heart for the senior saints of God, senior preachers, senior moms, senior dads. Brother Joe, just a special place in my heart for people that have walked as long and far as you and Brother Earl have. Ain't caved into the pressures of this world. Sometimes ain't even caved into the pressures from your children. Your own family will put pressure on you. Why, you old fogey, what's the matter with you? What do y'all go down there at that old church for? Am I right or am I wrong? I tell you, I want you to look at the honorable in the church at Sardis. Watch what the Bible said. He said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Oh, yes, the world might be going to hell in a handbasket, and many churches may not be far behind. But thank God there's still those in the church that's staying by the stuff. They ain't give up on the things of God. They give up on the way of God. Oh, beloved friend, the honorable. I picked up on something. Maybe this won't do something for you, but boy, it did for me. Think about this. Think about this progression as you go through the churches. Remember, these letters are practical. These letters are personal. But these letters are also prophetical. They represent stages in the life of the church. At Ephesus, y'all will remember this, I guarantee you will. Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee. You remember that? Then at Smyrna, he had nothing negative to say. Is that right? And then at Pergamos, listen to me carefully now. I want you to watch this progression. He said, I have a few things against thee. And then at Thyatira, he said, I have a few things against thee. I want you to notice this progression. Now he comes to Sardis. Sister Jennifer, he said, I just see a few that haven't defiled themselves. Do you see what's going on? A few that have not defiled their garments. He went from somewhat against, few things against, a few things against, and now he's just seeing a few things in favor in the church at Sardis. Boy, that ought to make us want to get on our knees today and pray. Oh, God, don't ever let Bible Way have a name that we live and be dead as a hammer. Don't let our home, Miss Eve, have a name that we live. There's my baby sitting back there. Good to see you, honey. Don't let our home have a name that we live and be dead. Can I tell you, I think one of the things that's happened to America, we went to living on memories. We weren't vigilant, Brother Rose. We weren't watchful. We didn't strengthen the things that remained. And you look what's crept in all over. Let me give you this last thing this morning. I see the hope of the church at Sardis. The Bible said in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The Bible said in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Dylan, it's in my heart right now to tell you something, honey. You've told me some things. And see, Dylan, he works in a place where they're not Christians. He didn't used to be one either. So now the pressure's on him. How many knows what I'm talking about? You see, they're not happy, and they don't want him to be happy either. Let me tell you something, Dylan. When you get in a hard spot, plead the blood of Jesus. The Bible said right here, hallelujah. The Bible said right here, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Just stop when you get in a tight spot. Listen to me. Say, Lord, that same blood that washed me, that made me a child of God, birthed me into the family. Lord, I want you to come through in mighty power that I might overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Isn't that a blessing this morning? Listen to this. Listen to what Vance Havner said. He once commented that ministries often begin with a man who has a vision. Brother Ralph, when I read that statement, I immediately thought about Brother Jack and thought about Brother J.W. We'll be taking up an offering in a few minutes for Brother J.W. and Sister Francis. Listen carefully to what Vance Havner said. He said, ministries often begin with a man who has a vision. That vision is captured by others, and it becomes a movement. As the movement gains followers and momentum, it becomes a machine. After a while, people forget all about the vision, and what was once a movement becomes nothing more than a monument to a man and a glorious past. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. We try to turn this place into a monument. I believe Brother Jack could come back and hit somebody in the back of the head. Say amen. Brother J.W. is still alive and he's got a cane. Amen. In other words, it started with a vision. But you let the vision die, and it'll turn into a monument. If we can't see that God put us on this hill for a reason. And Brother Ralph, our job ain't done yet. There's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. There's a world that's getting darker by the minute. And we need to let our light shine. Listen to this. I'll close with this. There's always a danger that any church can die. A man by the name of Dennis Lyle, he wrote, tragically, many churches are dead, like the rotting carcass of Lazarus. These church bodies have the foul stench of death upon them. They have the appearance of life, but they are in actuality dead. Their sanctuary is a morgue with a steeple. They are congregations of corpses. They have undertakers for ushers, embalmers for elders, and morticians for ministers. Their pastor graduated from the cemetery. The choir master is the local coroner. They sing embalmed in Gilead. He said at the rapture, they'll be the first churches taken, for God said the dead in Christ will rise first. I say, God, deliver us from such a church as that. Amen. This is not a place of death. It's a place of life. God, help us to keep the church moving in the direction our Father wants it to go in for His glory. Let me ask a question. In your travels, I'm not asking you to judge, but I'm asking you to be honest. How many's ever walked into a dead church? Honey, I have. Listen, you don't mistake. You can have noise without life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, honey, the Spirit of God was nowhere to be found. The Word of God was not being preached. The songs of Zion. Walk in and sit down and never even receive a welcome. Never even receive a handshake. I say, God, deliver us from that kind of church, from having a church, a name that we live and aren't dead. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for Bible Way, for the privilege, Lord, to be the pastor. I praise the Lord for our people. I praise you, Lord, for your presence. I realize, our Father, we have an enemy. But I also realize, our Lord, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God, I pray today you take this message and may we receive it, Lord, as a warning. Maybe, Lord, there's a dad here today that needs help in his home, a husband, a wife. Lord, that just need to strengthen the things that remain that might be ready to die. God, I pray today, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.